Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. The first time in several weeks I have been out of town, out of state. I also blog at Marion, Massachusetts, and Harumph. My name is Mike Ball. And I've been thinking about the city council, so I'll talk a little bit about them today. I promise that I will make those setups and get the counselors, the would-bes and the re-elected types on in the next couple months, actually, because there are a bunch of them. We have 13 counselors in Boston, 9 for the district and 4 at large. And this is a year when everybody runs for re-election. And we honestly don't have a terrific number of outsiders coming on. There are a few of the councilors who are facing a number of contenders. I'll discuss that. But more interesting to me is how the complexity and operations of the council have been changing in the last decade. And actually, it was a couple decades. I've been here for quite a while and been involved in the politics and meeting and sometimes confronting the city councilors. And I've been really quite surprised and, in general, pleased at what's been going on, the shifts. Those of you who are historical-based, you know that the Boston Board of Aldermen, which was the function of the old the Brahmin, there was a common council and a board of aldermen, and it was like the rich white guys from Beacon Hill in Back Bay ran the city with the mayor. But in 1909, the new form of city council with the district councilors came on, and they later added 4 at-large councilors. And it's got to be a real legislative body. They like to say they make laws. I'm not so sure their regulations and such qualify as honest-to-God laws, but they have the effect of law. And they are become increasingly active in that way. The old guys from, 30 years ago, when I first going to city council meetings, I was seeing the, there were a bunch of old clowns there, and they were just show-offs and not all that bright. There was a guy who ran a popular funeral parlor, and he was kind of a jerk, and another guy from South Boston who was really quite a racist and unpleasant. Those guys are gone. And the newer form of city council is more diverse and more active and brighter and a lot more fun. And about a decade or so ago, there were some shifts. We had Mike Ross as the city council president, and then followed with Steve Murphy. And during those years, we had some really active city councilors. There was John Tobin, who's moved on to Northeastern, and John Connolly, who ran for mayor and stepped down to do so. Rob Consalvo, who likewise stepped down from council to run for mayor. And they were very active legislators, and they did a lot personally, and they worked those 70 and 80 hour weeks, and they were amazing guys, and they worked together. It was really a big shift from the old city council of the 80s. So it was nice to see them, cutting deals and deciding what was a worthy thing to do. And you just see the effect of it. And there were a lot of big changes in the housing codes and the redevelopments and education. And they worked really well. It was a new, better, and improved city council. And unfortunately, some of those guys have moved on. Connolly did and Consalvo did because they ran for mayor. Michael Flaherty stepped down, but he came back and got reelected. So he's back up there. And a few of the guys have been there for a long time. Charles Yancey, elected first in 1983. That's 83. He's still there. He's already served 14 terms. So you'd think that they'd be all worn out, and a few did burn out, I think. I think John Connolly was really tired. He was working really hard. He was running the education committee, among other things, and he got really tired of all of that. Rob Consalvo, I don't know how he doesn't just burn out. He was the most amazing legislative force in the body for probably forever. There's a running joke in city council that they had to take away his municipal magazines because he'd get new ideas every month and come in and try to get new stuff passed in city council, and they were just overwhelmed with his efforts. So they both praised him and ridiculed him for his sincere legislative efforts. Well, those are good things, and I think he worked set a good tone, and we don't have as many. Some of the newer city councilors and some of the really old ones don't really make that much of an effort to legislate. And some of the newer guys do. Matt O'Malley, J.P. Rosendale, and Wes Roxbury, he does. He's very active. And some of his stuff seems silly from the outside. I mean, he has one working right now where he wants the somebody to pay for the city to put up suntan lotion dispensers everywhere to keep people like him, who are pale, waspy types, Irish types, to keep from getting skin cancer. It does seem sort of like a personal thing, but he has a lot of other things he does, and he gets all excited about people getting decent housing at a decent price, and people not racing through neighborhoods with their cars. And he is one of the more active people. And similarly, Ayanna Pressley, who's an at-large. We have four at-large city councilors, and it's Flaherty, Steve Murphy from my neighborhood on Hyde Park, and Ayanna Pressley and Michelle Wu. And I guess everybody's been on the show except for Michelle. Anyway, but Ayanna is has a big heart and a big mind, and she does good things, and she's particularly fond of efforts that advance and help Black and Latino women and girls. And she's very active in there, and she set up a separate committee for that effort that does a lot of good stuff. So she is one of those who's out there. And we're going to see a lot of that among the favorites. I mean, there are people there who are dearly beloved. Matt O'Malley. A few people are hostile to Matt O'Malley, but I would say, by and large, he's about the most loved city councilor he is, other than Tito Jackson. And Tito has an amazing following. He's District 7. And he has an amazing set of followers who just adore him. And he's in a good position. Likewise, Michael Flaherty. He kind of owns South Boston, which has a lot of good effects in the sense that they donate a lot of money. So he has a big war chest. He has some left over from his mayoral run, some from his period as city councilor. And I think he has the most money on tap of the others. But also, South Boston joins West Roxbury and Hyde Park in having extremely high percentages of voters. So they go to the polls. So Flaherty has built-in money and built-in votes. So that's not going to hurt him. Steve Murphy has been on here before, and we'll have him on again. He is a neighbor. I consider him a friend. So, but he's the money man. That's the harder thing. If city councilors want to know, can we afford to do this? Is this in the budget? How much would this cost us? They ask Steve to do that. And many of the most important decisions are based upon Steve's information. And he is a numbers guy, an accounting kind of guy, a management guy, and he understands that. But unfortunately, that doesn't translate directly to the voters. I think if you were to ask, probably 9 out of 10 or 9.5 out of 10 voters really wouldn't know what distinction Steve Murphy has, is that he's the guy that the people turn to for the money decision. If they fully understood that, I think he would never have a problem getting reelected. He usually does very well in this, but it's astonishing. He has a real niche in there. So that's good. Now, Charles Yancey is an amazing guy. He always has challengers, and he doesn't have a huge war chest, but he's extremely well-known. He's been there for a long time. And this time around, he has at least three challengers. Jovan Lesset, Terrence Williams, and Andrea Joy Campbell. And the latter has over $30,000 in her campaign account, and she just started. So that's a lot more than Yancey has, and we'll try to have her on and chat with her about what she wants to do and why she thinks that she could do something better than Yancey. But he's making a name for himself, but not so much for legislation now. He runs the that post-audit committee that determines, has lots of hearings, post-audit and oversight. So they determine where the council ought to be going, what they ought to be putting their emphasis and effort and maybe money into. And as a result of that, he has lots of hearings. And he and Mayor Marty Walsh have recently gone head-to-head, so I'd be interested to have him on, and maybe have Walsh on, too, to talk about that. But Yancey feels whenever he has a committee hearing, it's on an important issue, which it is, and that the mayor's people and the staff there ought to snap to and come to him. And they don't always. They sometimes send lesser people and sometimes send nobody. And it seems to piss Yancey off a lot. So we'll get him on and try to talk with him about that. And that should be an exciting race. But you know, he's, I guess, with Flaherty, he's the best known city councilors. I mean, everybody, he's going to be very, very hard to unseat. In fact, it's hard to unseat city councilors in general. They run every 2 years, so they're always in campaign mode. They're always raising money. Every interaction they have with a voter is a vote. And they're forever at it, so they have an advantage. And it's very rare for an incumbent to get a challenger who will unseat him. So I wouldn't put out a whole lot of hope for that. And who else is? We have some. Oh yeah, Tito. Tito has the usual two challengers, which is the perennial Althea Garrison and the pirate radio host Charles Clemens have both decided to run for Tito's seat. That's their neighborhood too, and I don't think they have a chance in hell. But anyway, I don't know. I'll have either one of them on, but I got to say, certainly have Tito on, talk to what he has in mind. I would like to talk to Josh Shakem. He's District 8 counselor. His parents, particularly his father, were great, well-known activists, and even had a bridge named after his father. But he has been strong on making sure that all of Boston gets a vote on the casinos and the Olympics, and he is his own activist. So I'll have him on. I'll talk to him if he'll come on, and we'll see what it's like to be son of a famous activist and you're an activist yourself. And I don't think he has any challengers. In fact, at least five of the district councilors have no challengers, which is kind of the normal thing. And unfortunately, the city council elections tend to come in non-mayoral years. So it's rare for there to be a decent turnout. In my ward, where I'm the warden, we get 30 to 35% turnout on these elections. But in citywide, it's like 12 to 18, probably about 14% average, which is pretty low. I mean, 60,000 voters determine who's going to sit on city council. And, we can rend our garments and cry and say, oh, that's not fair. This is important. Yes, it is important. And, yes, the challengers deserve a fair chance. And, yes, it's harder for them if they don't. And, yes, if there aren't enough challengers, nine for the at-large to have a preliminary, then the challengers are pretty much washed out. They don't get high enough profiles and don't have much of a chance. And it is kind of a shame. We missed our time when there was a confluence of mayor and city councils were going crazy and all of them were running for mayor, it seemed. And we had people like Rob Consalvo who stepped down, and it was very exciting. We have, you know, a very, very full ticket, but not this year. So it's not going to be as tight, as exciting. And I got to say, the people who are actively campaigning are going to have a very hard time doing this. But our job, I think, will be to get as many of the existing counselors and challengers on and see what they have to say, why people should bother to vote for them and as opposed to somebody else. And the at-larges are always the most exciting because there are, I mean, you got to do the whole city. I think it's only 200 ballot signatures to get on the race if you're running for a district, which is really a very small, a very low barrier. On the other hand, it's 1,500 from each district area, 1,500 scattered around each district to run for at-large. And that's harder. And you really have to have an organization for that. And that's why the perennial candidates tend to run for a district, or always run for a district. And the at-largers who succeed, they deserve some credit because they've put together a team and they've gotten a bunch of volunteers and they have their paid staff and they raise their money and they have something to tell you. So they have reason to be proud. So I'm not expecting a tremendous amount of change here, although, you know, I'm also not seeing the kind of collegiality we did in the last decade. The existing city council doesn't have as many active legislators. Although it's amusing, Steve Murphy is proposing a lot more now that he's no longer city council president. He ran his set of terms on there. And he didn't, to his credit, he did not run a personal agenda. He did what he felt was best for the city. So now he's a counselor at large. He proposes more, and he's more active. Tito is active. Matt O'Malley is active. Ayanna Pressley is active. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to say during their campaign. I'll have them on. And I got pushed off the last couple of times we had people on. It was Matt O'Malley and Steve Murphy was there saying, it's a little too early to talk about re-election. Now it isn't too early. Now, by May 11th, everybody's supposed to be signed up as running. So we'll have a chance in the next couple months to talk to these people and see what they think, why they think you should be voting for them. So let's look at leftahead.com, and I'll let you know who's coming up. And probably in the next couple weeks I'll have my first candidate on as a guest, and we'll have as many as I can get, and we'll chat them up. So look forward to more of this election time. This still could be good. Pay attention. Goodbye.